From Fresno, Línea Abierta presents a live town hall meeting on the future of DACA, the federal program that provides young immigrants relief from deportation. This program broadcasts live from the campus of Fresno City College. This is a production of Radio Bilingüe.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo están todos ustedes? Qué bien que están aquí presentes. Bienvenidos nuevamente a una sesión, a este foro abierto para tratar el asunto del fin de DACA y qué hacer para asegurar protección a los jóvenes Dreamers y a las familias inmigrantes. Nos da mucho gusto que estén aquí presentes. Bienvenidos nuevamente. Welcome everyone to this town hall meeting on DACA, the young Dreamers and the imminent humanitarian crisis in immigrant families. I'm your host, Samuel Orozco. I'm your MC, Samuel Orozco, the host of Línea Abierta Radio Bilingüe. And to start, let me say that for this meeting, we have invited the three members of the congressional delegation from Fresno. We invited David Valadeo, we invited Jim Costa, we invited Devin Nunes. We invited also the Fresno mayor, the Fresno City Council, the sheriff, and the police chief. Some declined and some apologized for not being able to make it. We'd like to thank Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula for making the commitment to be with us. He is going to be with us in a couple of minutes. And thanks also to Council Member Esmeralda Soria for coming, City Council Member from Fresno. We also have, we'll have two education leaders with us. We have Miguel Arias. He's a trustee of the State Center Community College District. And then later in the program, we'll have the presence of Claudia Casares. She's a trustee of the Board of Fresno Unified School District. She's gonna be joining us in a few minutes. During the next 2 hours, we will be hearing from community leaders, public officials, and especially from young leaders who are currently protected by DACA. They, the DACA young people, will be on the front row, actually on the front table, in our conversation. First, we would like to have some opening remarks by our host, the president of Fresno City College, Dr. Carol Goldsmith, who despite the short notice, she never hesitated to give her full support and make this gathering possible in a venue with such a special meaning. Fresno City College has the distinction of being the first community college in the history of California, a groundbreaking institution. So I hope the good energy in this college will help us break some ground in this meeting. Dr. Goldsmith, welcome.
Good afternoon and thank you. As president of Fresno City College, one of California's largest community colleges, and obviously the first in the state of California and the second in the nation, it is both my honor and my privilege to speak on behalf of all of our students and faculty and administration when I say welcome. And thank you for coming here today and being brave to have these conversations. I would like to also thank Radio Bilingüe and their approach in making sure this story is told nationwide. So for those of you who are listening, thank you for joining us this afternoon as we are very proud to co-host this forum across the country on such an important topic as DACA. And while I'm giving the welcome, I would be remiss if I did not take the opportunity to share the following information from our state chancellor, and I do quote our state chancellor, Eli Oakley. The Trump administration's DACA decision does not impact a student's ability to attend any California community college, nor does it impact the ability for a student to qualify for an exemption from non-resident student tuition fees under AB 540, or to apply for financial aid under the provisions of the California DREAM Act. AB 540 and the California DREAM Act are state programs that are entirely separate and distinct from DACA. To learn more about financial aid opportunities available through the California DREAM Act, I please encourage you to visit iCanAffordCollege.com. Again, that is iCanAffordCollege.com. But for tonight, we're here to talk at this national forum On behalf of the thousands of students who grace the halls of all higher educational institutions across this great nation who seek the truth. And I'm here to tell you, as president of one of those institutions, the truth is DACA works. DACA students add a richness to our academic dialogue. They add a heart to our college and throughout our country. Here at Fresno City College, we stand united with the thousands in support and protection of DACA and support of creating a pathway for citizenship to ensure those who seek to live the American dream can live it, achieve it, just as so many of those who have before them. So again, thank you to Radio Bilingua. Thank you to Assemblymember Joaquin Arambula for joining us, Councilwoman Esmeralda Sori, Trustee Arias, and our distinguished students who will be joining us tonight. So let's begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Goldsmith. And thank you very much. We know you have to rush out to a very important meeting with Fresno. And the best on all your projects tonight. So now, the issue for our meeting tonight is this. President Trump ended DACA. His order will be effective in 6 months unless Congress takes immediate action to bring relief for DACA people and for the Dreamers. So, at Radio Bilingue, we hear from listeners about the crisis gripping our families. We hear feelings of anxiety, of depression, stress, and lots of real loss. We hear about loss primarily. Loss of sleep, loss of work, loss of homes, loss of healthcare, loss of health, loss of community events. Some events have been canceled. All because of intense fear of being taken away from the family, being suddenly behind bars, being deported. Even in California, a progressive state that is now welcoming newcomers and has rejected the draconian policies from Washington, even here, the soon-to-be sanctuary state, the lives of many families have been disrupted, have been turned upside down. So for our community, what we are hearing is that the threat is imminent, the crisis is real, and most Americans seem to agree that something has to be done to deal with that mess and find immigrants a decent place in our society. The question is, do our political leaders get it? Do our politicians care? Do they have the political will and the courage to come up with a common sense solution? And in the meantime, while the gridlock continues at the highest levels of government, are the local authorities, the local leaders, willing to help protect these families from fear and from separation? That's the issue we have in front of us. This is going to be an open conversation on this matter, and we would like to hear ideas, initiatives, testimonies, or specific questions for our public officials. Así que let's begin our conversation. Let's begin the conversation with Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula. Assemblyman Joaquin Arambula, he comes from Sacramento. This is the city that these days is a hotbed for policies that welcome and protect immigrant families. It's the home of SB 54, the Sanctuary State Bill. Assemblyman Arambula, bienvenido.
Thank you so much for having me, but I'm not sure I would identify with coming from Sacramento. I came from down the street. I live less than half a mile away and grew up here with my roots in the valley. And I fight in Sacramento on our behalf and what I heard from my community loud and clear was this fear. And that our state needed to do something. That we needed to make an attempt to show that we could be a beacon for the rest of our country. And what we did recently was put a bill on our governor's desk that I hope he signs, that will declare that California is a sanctuary state, that this is a safe place, that we can, with our immigrant brothers and sisters, have a community that we can call home. And I'm proud to play my role in this. And I've loved fighting in Sacramento, but I'm not sure I'd say I was from Sacramento. I'm from right down the street and have my valley roots that I'm quite proud of.
Thank you, Assemblyman Joaquin Arámbula. And yes, indeed. In fact, he's from around the street. Yeah. Así que, bueno, algunas preguntas para nuestros, de parte de nuestros DACA panelists. ¿Alguna pregunta que tuvieran para Assemblyman Joaquin Arámbula? Bueno, no preguntas al ratito. Si se les ocurre alguna al ratito, con todo gusto, el micrófono. Javier Vázquez.
Yeah, I guess I can start. Hello, everyone. I'm sorry to be late. I just came from a workshop in Merced. Again, with college students, I'm trying to get this, everyone to push to renew their DACA. But a question for Assembly Member Arámbula is that if in the long run there'll be a push to change the legislation or the language within the AB 540 provisions to allow anyone who's resides in the state for 3 years and not 3 years of high school, so anyone can attend and go to a community college or higher education. We know that there's special licenses for anyone, regardless of their immigration status. So that's something down the line that doesn't require an immigration status, but if something down the line that if those provisions will change or either the legislation is taking a look at that.
If I may, I'd like to tell you that we tried to author that legislation this year. You know, we had to work within a certain pecking order in Sacramento, and the author of AB 540 wanted to take claim for it, and we wanted to work with his office to make it successful. And we'll continue to fight for it, because I do think, regardless of if it's just 3 years of any form of education, that should be enough. But was happy to work on that. We did a lot in Sacramento this year. You know, I fought for things. I have a real heart and soul to try and make a difference for our communities. I don't see a difference when I look around at the human beings in this room. And think too often people focus on labels. So what we fought for in Sacramento was first fighting to defend health for all kids, every child under the age of 18. We fought to try to expand it to health for all young adults up to the age of 26, just like they have on Obamacare. There may be some way we can think creatively to work on that. We found funding for legal aid to help with defense and due process. We were able to find funding to help. I think this is the right idea when we realize that immigrants are paying taxes and need representation from their public servants. And what we should be expecting from our federal partners right now is for them to do their job and to pass comprehensive immigration reform now. Let's make sure we're putting the problem in the right seat and holding our elected leaders accountable.
Any other questions from our panelists, young immigrant panelists for Assemblyman Arámbula? Pues sin más, ¿qué tal? Let's continue with the Fresno City Council member Esmeralda Soria. The City Council has been the scene of recent debates about protecting immigrant families. Recently, local citizens petitioned the city to help create a legal defense fund to assist families facing deportation. It did not pass this time around, but all eyes are on the City Council, on every member of the City Council. So, Consejera Esmeralda Soria, bienvenida.
Gracias. Thank you for having me. Just, you know, very proud to be here today along with a number of leaders in our community that have stood strong in support of not only our Dreamers, but our immigrant community, which we know is invaluable not only to the city of Fresno, not only to the state of California, but to this entire nation. And immigrants really have built this country. And I think that a lot of times we forget the hard work of the immigrant community. And so as someone that represents the city of Fresno, the fifth largest city in the state, you know, I have been one of the few council members that have stood up to voice the opinion, to be an advocate for our immigrant community. And I think that we need to do a lot more. But what we see when we're looking at our local city council is that elections have consequences. And that when we don't elect people that understand the issues and the plight of the immigrant community, you get two votes. In a council that is we can say, even if it's a partisan issue and you get Democrats to support it in a council that is made up by 4 Democrats and 3 Republicans, you can only still garner the support of 2 people, which is a shame. It is a true shame in my perspective. I am very disappointed with the recent action of our current president in his repeal of DACA. And I hate to see that we're holding our dreamers hostage to pursue political agendas, and that's what it is. I don't see a lot of sincerity out there, even within our congressional delegation, to really resolve the issue. And so I just want to tell people that are hearing today this town hall and that have been following the issue that it is not about today, you know, listening to what is happening. It's about every day in the work that we do in our communities in advocating, but in every single election, even those for those folks that are in our communities that are undocumented, that can't vote and can't be, you know, per se civically engaged. Well, you can still be civically engaged by going and supporting people that are going to be an advocate for you by putting on your tennis shoes and walking and knocking doors and getting people that generally don't go out to vote to be civically engaged so that we are supporting the Joaquin Arambulas of this world, the Miguel Arias of this world, the Claudia Casares of this world that are willing to stand up during these controversial times and help and support our community that truly needs champions, that need people that are going to be bold and not be afraid of the political repercussions because, you know, it can be an issue that becomes very political. I don't see this as a political issue. I see this as a human issue. A human rights issue. We're dealing with lives of young people who came here without any fault of their own and have done everything that they've been asked to do here in this country. They are fighting for our country. They're in our military. There are our teachers. There are our neighbors. They're my primas, my primos. There are families. There are neighbors. There are our lawyers, our doctors, our public servants that are, you know, working hard to make this a city a better place. And we need to continue to fight, not only to fight for our dreamers. Yes, they are very important, but we need to fight for families that are here in our community that continue to break their backs every single day so that we're the 6th largest economy of this world. Let's not forget that. And it is the farm workers, it's the dishwashers also that are contributing, that are in the shadows, that also need advocates, that need us to stand up and demand that we get comprehensive immigration reform, because that is ultimately the solution to the issue that we are experiencing today. But as we are demanding for comprehensive immigration reform, we gotta also track what is happening here locally. I will just give one example, if you permit me. If any of you guys have followed the city council in this next agenda tomorrow, there is a local ordinance that would change from a infraction to a misdemeanor and hold those people to have a misdemeanor if they go and take out your recyclings from your city garbage can. So a lot of people don't understand immigration laws and the consequences of giving a criminal conviction. So while everyone else here is fighting for comprehensive immigration reform, local cities are passing these draconian ordinances that are going to have immigration consequences for people that either don't have status or that even have status. So we need to be vigilant about what is happening locally, what your council members are proposing. You know, just a couple weeks ago, the city council voted to criminalize the homeless. I'm sure that we have immigrants that are homeless. And if we're criminalizing them, if we're making them criminals, that's going to impact them. If we ever have immigration reform, it's going to impact their ability to become a legal permanent resident. So let's not forget about the low-hanging fruit here that is happening locally. Let's be smart, let's be vigilant, because I need people to support, to come and show up to City Hall to oppose those types of draconian ordinances that would have immigration consequences for our immigrant community.
Muchas gracias, concejal Esmeralda Soria. Thank you for making us aware about the tremendous impact that local leaders can have on the whole issue of immigration policy, immigration reform. Thank you. ¿Alguna pregunta que tuvieran nuestros panelistas, Dreamers o Young Immigrants, para Esmeralda Soria?
So I have a question. I think this one is to you, Mr. Rambula. I think for me, I really wanted to project the importance of making sure that when we're talking about immigration, that the issue of immigration isn't necessarily just on papers. I think as Ms. Soria, as you stated, we have to deal with criminalization, right, of people of color and how that's going to have future consequences in terms of immigration. But I think it's important to look at what we can do here at the state level and as well here locally, because I think one of the things that we've seen is that even with comprehensive immigration reform, so many of our community are going to be left out. They're not going to qualify for anything. And so I think what we need to do is figure out how we can extend benefits to folks regardless of immigration status. And I think that's one of the things that the bill SB 562, right, healthcare for all, Medicare for all, or a single payer bill in California, that's something that could really help the undocumented community, right? So that even when we know that our community isn't going to get papers, that they still will have access to healthcare, right? Things like bail reform as well, which we know in terms of bail reform, right? We know that when folks come into contact with law enforcement, right? If they're, the more time they spend in jail, the more likely they're gonna come into contact with immigration, because we know our county jail here locally, Sheriff Mims, right? She works very closely with immigration. So again, anything that we can do to reduce the amount of time that our undocumented folks are spending in jail to limit their ability to come into contact with ICE. So I think it's more of a question of like, what are some things that you're thinking about? You know, whether it's in response to those two around single-payer healthcare for all, including undocumented folks, or bail reform. But what are some thoughts of in terms of how we can address it at the state level beyond bills like SB 54?
That was Luis Ojeda, sure. Young leader of immigrants. Luis Ojeda.
So, first off, I want to say that we finished session last Friday, September 15th, and we passed one of the most progressive legislative calendars that we've seen in recent modern history. We passed a transportation package to help fix our broken and crumbling roads. We were able to pass a housing package to be able to reinvest and look at whether or not how we can help deal with our homeless crisis that we have today. We were able to pass cap and trade to deal with the existential threat that climate change is to our communities. And I still believe that we must focus on how to fight for health care for all.
Okay, let me clarify that at some point we're going to have some time for your participation, the participation of the audience, particularly some community leaders. So you're going to have a chance.
I think it's quite happy to have
to speak up at some point.
Friendly discussion about what's going on, but I will not be single-minded that there is only one solution to healthcare reform. I believe that we must have a substantive policy discussion where we bring everyone together and be the adults in the room and figure out how we get to health care for all, for everyone.
Now, alguna otra pregunta que tuvieran particularmente.
Some of these policies can't be resolved within 1 year.
Thank you, Assemblyman Joaquín Arámbula. Alguna pregunta que tuvieran antes de seguir adelante con nuestra sesión. Para la concejal Esmeralda Soria. Adelante. Y Brisa Cruz.
Yes, I know you mentioned you are very proactive in terms of talking and representing the immigrant community. But I'm just curious to know that even when we pass something at the statewide level, the implementation always comes down to the local level. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with the program that the sheriff has, right? Where she has contact with ICE, and based on the numbers that she has provided to us, almost close to 400 people have been turned into ICE. And so my question to you is, as a local, the city of Fresno local elected official, what are you going to do to be more proactive in terms of representing more the community that has been under attack in the sense that we have one of the most anti-immigrant sheriffs. And just to put it into perspective, she has invited Arpaio. Arpaio is coming to town by the end of this month. And so as a Fresno City Council member, and I know you've been outspoken about, like I said, the immigrant community, how more proactive will you be in terms of that collaboration between federal ICE agents and the local law enforcement?
Concejal Esmeralda Soria.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. So one of the things that we have to remember is that our existing sheriff is elected. So I'm not a supporter of the sheriff. I don't support the policies that she has in place, which is, and when we're talking about local law enforcement, I was the lead at the city of Fresno to ensure that the existing policy that we have, which is not to cooperate with immigration enforcement, stays consistent, and that we have a mayor that's not going to change that, and that they keep that in place. And at least under my watch, I will assure that that doesn't happen. And so that's what I have control over, in terms of, you know, my local body. So again, kind of going back to some of my original statements, it's our responsibility as an entire community to hold her accountable, because she's an elected official, and we haven't. All of us have failed to do that as a community when we see what has happened, with her. I don't know if she's participating or she made the invitation. I don't think she made the invitation, but the fact that she considered even attending, I condemn that. I don't think that we should have Arpaio coming to our city, someone that is so divisive, and then honoring him is a slap in the face to the immigrant community, to the Latino community that he has tormented and profiled in the state of Arizona. So I think that we have a lot of work to do here in our community. I will continue to stand up and to be brave on the issues, but I need help, and that's the reality. So I hope that all of you guys, as passionate as we all are about the issue, that when elections come in 2018, when we're talking about local government, that we are being watchful as to who we put in place for District 7 and District 3, because those elections locally are going to matter, and that when the sheriff is on the ballot again, that we just don't take it for granted, that we actively look for law enforcement that is going to be representative of our community and that understand the issues. One more point I just wanted to make. What's important to me when I'm looking at locally what we're doing, so that I avoid having the issues of people coming into contact with law enforcement. I've been proactive in looking at, as ordinances are coming, in being vocal about what the impacts could be from making an infraction to a misdemeanor. This council has attempted to do that several times, but it's on no one's watch. You guys may not hear about it because it's not reported, but I'm the one that is always challenging those draconian ordinances that are being proposed every single Thursday that we meet. Those are not being covered because no one makes the connection about the immigration issue, or no one covers really when, you know, certain things are happening. And I'll just briefly say, we had an issue that came up with folks being protesting and getting arrested or having arrest warrants because of my position and being able to talk and our city attorney having discretion in filing charges. We're able to minimize that and create an opportunity so the young people being impacted by that don't have to face immigration consequences. And that's a result of folks doing work behind the scenes that doesn't get reported every day. But those are the battles that I'm fighting, and that many times I'm the only one.
Y definitivamente hay un gran impacto, una gran relación entre sentencias y deportaciones, ¿no? La cuestión de la política que un gobierno local tenga sobre sentencias y su impacto sobre deportaciones es brutal. el impacto y la necesidad de una reforma del sistema de sentencias es brutal. ¿Alguna pregunta más de manera muy brevísima para poder continuar, tomando en cuenta de que el tiempo avanza? For those of you tuning in on the radio, you're listening to a live broadcast of a town hall meeting on the end of DACA and the future of the young immigrants. Actually, I would like to appreciate, also to thank, to recognize Ridley College and Madera Community College. They are joining this broadcast live on their websites. ¿Alguna pregunta más? Me parece que es de Pedro Ramírez.
Thank you again for hosting the forum and for the officials that elected. I know most of you here have been most of our champions. You know, others that could have been in the room and should have been in the hot seat, but we appreciate you for being here. But I think, Esmeralda, you mentioned something about law enforcement going after protesters and you being proactive behind the scenes to help them. What can you do to help even prevent that from happening, where you don't have to go behind the scenes? Like, as long as we have this guy as president, there's going to be a lot of protesters out there marching. There's going to be a lot of resistance and a lot of action. So people are stepping up. I mean, I wasn't able to go to the DACA march here in Tower, but that was pretty big. And that was organized by a student here at Fresno City. And so that was pretty amazing. And that's going to happen a lot and a lot and a lot. And so we do not want these confrontations with law enforcement. So we want to make sure that we can assemble peacefully. I mean, our PIO is coming. And that Facebook event already has like 1,000 people RSVP. So.
¿Y cuál es tu pregunta, Pedro?
Being proactive about organizing, right?
Thank you, Pedro. Great question.
Soria?
Great question. So actually, thank you for asking that. I am working right now with my staff to create spaces within the city of Fresno that are safe spaces and protected spaces so that those incidents don't happen, because I get it, especially with our current administration and how people feel motivated and activated to be vocal. I believe that what we're bringing forward will help address some of those issues.
Muy bien, sigamos con el programa. We have invited the Fresno State President Joseph Castro. He was invited. He couldn't attend. His office provided us with a video message. Let me see if I can share the video message with you. Joseph Castro from Fresno State.
Hello. Fresno State currently serves 25,000 talented students, including an estimated 1,200 DACA students. About 90% of our students are from the Central Valley, and over 70% are the first generation in their family to attend college. As president of Fresno State, I stand with each and every one of our students, including our DACA students, and will do all I can to help them succeed. I join Chancellor White and the other 22 CSU presidents in expressing disappointment about the DACA program coming to an end in 6 months. It is now up to Congress to pass a bill as soon as possible that enables our talented dreamers at Fresno State and across the nation to become part of the next generation of leaders in the U.S. and world. My staff and I are in regular contact with congressional representatives Costa, Nunes, and Valadeo, and their staff about this important matter. We will continue to support the passage of the DREAM Act or similar legislation. Fresno State's mission is to boldly educate and empower our students for success. As evidenced by our recent Washington Monthly ranking of number 17 nationally, we are doing this better than ever before. We will continue to focus our energy on the success of all of our students. Their success will enable the Central Valley and California economy to grow and thrive. Thank you.
Well, thank you to Dr. Castro for the message. I can underline in some of the words. He hopes Congress will take action. He says he stands with DACA students and he's in regular contact. His staff is in regular contact with Nunes, Costa, and Valadeo, the local congressional delegation. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's see what's happening in the school systems. This is a pretty good segue to going to the school systems in the school district and the college district. There have been some recent outstanding developments in this area. Let's begin with Fresno Unified. Fresno Unified is now officially a safe haven for immigrants, and just opened at Dreamer Center last week. Trustee Claudia Cáceres, I understand you spearheaded some of this legislation, the creation of the Dreamer Center and the Safe Haven Resolution. And háblenos, por favor, de eso y demás.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Claudia Cáceres. Soy miembro de la mesa directiva del Distrito Escolar de Fresno y estoy muy nerviosa, pero ojalá no hablo muy rápido. My name is Claudia Cáceres. I'm a trustee on the Fresno Unified School Board. I'm one of the newest trustees. I'm on my ninth month. And I think more than spearheading any one of these programs that we've had, starting with the Safe Places Resolution in March, I was part of a team. Part of a team that came from the community, that came from our board, that came from administration, that really places our students first, places our students' safety above all, and their ability to learn. And I think this collaboration, the being able to count on your neighbor and your community partners, and being able to educate those that don't agree with you, at least being able to share some of your experiences with those that don't know what the implications of these changes are, is of paramount importance, particularly in the Central Valley. I believe that a lot of our community partners that are here today, including Luis and his group, have been very vocal and very supportive at the board hearings, and the board listens. When you come, we listen. And we passed the Safe Places Resolution, which makes all of our schools and our school administrative sites safe places for our immigrants. Already, Fresno Unified does not ask for an immigration status of any one of our students, and so there is no information we're even able to share with anybody from the immigration services. And we're training our staff and our teachers to ensure that they understand what the Safe Places designation means, so that each one of our students is able to feel safe, not only in the buildings, but within their classrooms and with their teachers. We had heard since the November elections happened that a lot of our students were afraid. They didn't want to come to school. Their parents didn't want to bring them to school. They were afraid for their brothers and their sisters and their parents and their neighbors and their cousins. And so we felt it was important as a board to make a statement for our immigrant community, and that's exactly what we did when we voted unanimous approval of Safe Places in March. Fast forward to last week, a couple of weeks ago, when President Trump canceled DACA and put a lot of our own students into the treacherous path of unknowing if they'd have the ability to pursue their higher education or remain in the United States. We worked again with our administration, thankful for Miguel Arias to be part of that, and he fast-tracked the opening of the Dream Center. It was scheduled to be open in October, but we were able to, and we meaning Miguel, were able to open it within a week. Him and his partners out in this community that have already been serving our DACA recipients and immigrant community over the summer came together and were able to provide the resources and the hours to ensure that our students had a place to come to that was outside of their school environment. And maybe they feel a little bit safer in a place where they're not singled out and not completely known what their name is. I just heard President Castro say that he has about 25,000 students and over 1,000 DACA recipients. Well, we have 75,000 students. So I could only imagine we have between 3 and 4, maybe even 5,000 DACA students in our schools. The decision by President Trump was horrendous. It brought back the fear to our students. I learned today of a story of a young lady that had been saving to reapply for her DACA application. It expired last year. She'd been saving since January, and she just didn't have the opportunity to do that. In the Valley, you barely scrape by sometimes to pay your rent and pay your mortgage, so having to pay an extra $500, $600, $700 is, you can't do it. And then the DACA decision came and went, and now it's too late. She has no idea what she's gonna do. So this affects all of our students. It affects, even if they're not DACA recipients, they know somebody who is, they have a neighbor who is, or a cousin who is, and we feel that we need to continue to build these collaborative relationships, not just with our community partners, but also with those leaders in our community that don't see things the way we do. We need to educate them. We need to be the adults in the room, like Assemblymember Arambula said, and have these dialogues in a peaceful manner where we very firmly tell them these stories. There is no easy way for our immigrants from other countries, particularly Mexico, to come here the right way. I'm tired of hearing that. There's no right way to come here. There's no easy way to come here. So we need to be able to be willing to step up as citizens, as green card holders, to speak for our youth that don't have the ability, who are afraid to speak up for themselves for fear of being arrested and suddenly having a record. So as a follow-up to that, and I'll plug the September 29th anti-Arpaio protest we're going to all go to. Make sure you're there.
Muy bien. Ya acabamos de escuchar la noticia. Va a ir la trustee Claudia Cázares al evento afuera de Arpaio, ¿no? Afuera de las,
así es,
del evento de Arpaio. Muy bien. Ahí. ¿Alguna pregunta que tuviera nuestro panel de jóvenes inmigrantes? Una pregunta solamente para trustee Claudia Cázares, miembro de la junta directiva de Fresno Unified School District. ¿Qué tal si Luis Ojeda, pero brevemente Luis, y luego Javier, brevemente?
So, as someone who's both undocumented and queer, I did also want to raise a current issue, right, that's happening on the board, that I think undocumented folks, immigrant folks, right, we live at the intersection, we carry multiple identities, and so I think, you know, we've taken great steps at Fresno Unified to make sure that undocumented immigrant students feel really welcome, but currently there's obviously some controversy on the board in terms of some of the homophobic and transphobic statements and sentiments that have been expressed by the school board president. And so I just wanted to ask to see if there was anything that folks are discussing in terms of how to deal with that and how to make you know, folks feel safe. Because again, if you're a queer undocumented student, it's great that you know that the school supports you and will protect you in terms of your immigrant status. But if you're a queer student or a trans student who, you know, it's been made very clear that there are certain folks in the district, or at the board level at least, right, that don't support folks. So just kind of thinking through like how we can be more intersectional and what we can do to support queer and trans students as well.
Thank
Trustee
you for your
Claudia
question.
Trustee Claudia
Cázares. Thank you, Luis. Yes, it's been out in the news a lot that I have to correct you, it's not certain trustees on the board, it's one trustee on the board out of seven. And the balance of us have been very supportive of all of our community, including the LGBTQ community. And we have been vocal. We've expressed our support at every one of these meetings. My colleague Elizabeth was very strong in her support. And so it's a balance of making sure that we're following the guidelines and the set protocols for change in leadership. It will happen. We have all had this discussion with that certain board member, and he does not speak for us. But most importantly, we are offering and we're working on programs and funding for the queer community, particularly our students in our schools, to ensure that they do feel safe, that we have resources available for them. And to me, that's most important, and that's why I ran and why I am on the board, is to make those decisions that our students benefit from. Not necessarily you don't have to give me TV time for that. I just go on Wednesdays and have a meeting and make those decisions for our students.
Yeah. Brevemente, Javier Vázquez.
So growing up in high school, you know, I had a chance to meet great, you know, teachers and counselors that guided me, you know, to be the person where I am right now. How can you ensure us that the counselors and teachers that are placed in different high schools and different sites have the capacity of guiding students to the right places? I went to Austin Community College when I went to the Career Center and asking, well, I don't know what I want to major in. So she's like, well, I don't know. And then when I told her about immigration status, she's like, well, what's that? So having the right people in the right place is important for our students. So how can you assure us that we're going to have capable people in guiding our students into the right path?
Sí, Trustee Claudia Cázares.
That's a great question. I think that, thank you for asking. In the past, I think that a lot of our budgeting for our support staff has been on the low side. We realize that not only counselors, but nurses, assistants, psychologists, funding for that. Again, what's most important for me is the programming and the funding. The programming and the funding for that was significantly increased for the 2017-2018 school year. And thank you. And we, as part of the Safe Places resolution, we've been working with our administration, our staff, and our community partners to train our staff and our counselors particularly to ensure that they are aware of the issues our immigrant students face and our DACA students face, so that they're able to identify those students that need that extra help. At the same time, though, we need to bring along our community partners, and I keep saying that because I'm seeing Margarita right in the front, who have been serving our community members for years. And I think that's an important part. I'm gonna look at my staff member, Miguel. I think that's an important part of our training, is that we're not the solution to a lot of those problems, but we do know somebody who is and somebody who can help. And so we need to make sure that those resources are part of the educational process for our staff.
Gracias, Claudia Cáceres. Esta es una transmisión en vivo de una sesión de un foro para tratar el asunto del fin de DACA y lo que hay que hacer. Lo que hay que hacer para proteger nuestras familias y para proteger a aquellos jóvenes que podrían quedarse sin la protección del programa de DACA. Este foro se lleva a cabo desde el auditorio del Fresno City College, el colegio universitario de la ciudad de Fresno. Y repito, Ridley College y Madera Community College se están enlazando a través de sus medios digitales a esta transmisión. ¿Qué tal si seguimos en los minutos finales que nos restan de esta hora? En la hora siguiente le cederemos la palabra a líderes de la comunidad que están aquí presentes y que han formado parte también de la organización de este foro comunitario. Eso será en algunos minutos. In the next hour, we're going to be basically asking some community leaders in the forum to address the audience. They are some of the members who help organize this community forum. So let's move on this session. And on the Community College District area, we also have some good news. Dreamer Center is about to open. Actually, it's about to be expanded because I understand it was already has been already opened for some time. So a new center is about to open here at this Fresno City College. Actually, this is the promotion in case you want to, you know, get it on your way out and distribute it. And Miguel Arias is a trustee for the State Center Community College District. He's been championing actions by college leaders such as these Dreamer Centers. So this is very critical, very critical. I mean, these kind of actions are very critical for DACA students, for DACA young people. Pues sin más, ¿qué tal si le cedemos la palabra al miembro de la Junta Directiva, Miguel Arias? Miguel.
Good evening to all of you, and those of you who know me know that I like enjoy having direct and difficult conversations, but what I actually enjoy even more is finding permanent solutions to problems that plague our community. And I feel compelled to start with, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine a while back, and they reminded me about this saying that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And in this case, when it comes to immigration, I think we should take it a step further. If you're not part of the solution, you are the problem. And I want to be crystal clear that the only difference between most of us up here and those across on the stage is that we had a president that valued the immigrant contribution. We also had a Congress that worked. You know, I migrated here as an undocumented resident at 2 years old, but I benefited from President Reagan, who understood and valued the immigrant contribution to his country and the historical nature of that. And I also had a Congress that actually problem solved and legislated. And as a result of that, there was the 87 amnesty that me and many of my colleagues in childhood and high school benefited from. We're no different, I would argue. Most of the DACA recipients or the Dreamers today are far more talented, far more skilled, and far more driven than most of us were growing up. By all measures, the only thing that is different is we have a Congress that doesn't work, and we have a president that doesn't understand the value of the immigrant community. And I would hope that as we go down this path of finding a solution, that we don't use the Dreamers or DACA recipients as a negotiating bargain or a token. We need to demand for a comprehensive, permanent solution. Because of the broken system at the federal level, we are tasked, all of us collectively, with coming up with local but temporary solutions. All the things that we've done here, we're probably the only region that has a Dream Center in K-12, a Dream Center in community colleges, a Dream Center at CSU, Fresno State. But yet, those are all temporary solutions and they're not sustainable. We need to come up with a comprehensive approach and not allow Congress to have one more temporary solution that, you know, kicks the bucket down the road of a year or 2 years from now. That's not the way you legislate. That's not the way you fix permanent challenging problems. So I would just add from the State Center hat, our colleague and one of my bosses, Trustee Casares, knows very well that ever since she's been on our board, my list of laundry things to do has gotten bigger and far more thoughtful and far more focused on our immigrant community as it should be. And here in the community college system, we have 1,100 Dreamers at Fresno City College alone. And we opened a Dream Center a couple years ago, but we opened it slowly and carefully. And I'm glad that tomorrow we get to expand that facility, more importantly, the services. And thanks to the folks at the state level, like Assemblymember Arambula, community colleges are slated to get $7 million to help our Dreamers with tuition. That's a very important and progressive step, and a very critical one, but I will tell you, for us, Dreamers in K-12, they're not just students that we serve. They're actually employees that serve us. Of the 700,000 DACA recipients, 20,000 of them are teachers. That's a significant amount. We have thousands of DACA recipients that are teachers right now in our classrooms, and we have a national and statewide shortage of teachers. Eliminating them from the employment base would only undercut our ability and our constitutional responsibility to provide a public education to everybody. That's in nobody's best interest. And I think we are well positioned to be thoughtful and to be supportive of our community. But ultimately, whether it's municipal, you know, law enforcement or, you know, federal legislation, we only can do so much locally, and we are doing what we can and going above and beyond, but all these initiatives are temporary in nature and are extremely progressive for our region, but we need to focus on a federal fix. And I am personally disappointed that in the Valley, we have two congressmen that are in senior positions in Congress. They're not any members of Congress. There are folks in leadership positions that if they wanted to, could put a bill to the floor for a vote. We did it when it came to water. 10 years ago when I came back from DC, we led the movement to bring a water bond because we told the story of the immigrant farm worker and the farmer, one in the same. They're not mutually exclusive. In this case, Dreamers, DACA recipients are not mutually exclusive to the rest of the community. And I think it's incumbent on us to hold those representatives accountable and to actually provide some thoughtful advice as they develop the legislation. Thank you.
Muchas gracias, Trustee Miguel Arias. Se nos acaba el tiempo. Tenemos 2 o 3 minutos de esta hora. Solamente 2 o 3 minutos nos restan de esta hora. Veremos si podemos hacer caber 1 o 2 preguntas para Trustee Miguel Arias. Brenda Ordaz, joven líder de inmigrantes. Adelante.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all. I want to thank you all for being here today, for lending us an ear to listen to our concerns, and as well as us listening to you all. I think there's a saying in Espanol que dice que el que nada debe, nada teme, and those people that are not here with us today, there's for a reason. So Nunez and Mims and all the leaders that are not here today, right? There's a reason why they're not here. And I think we're preaching to the choir because we know that you've all been standing with the immigrant community and supporting us. But before I go into my question for the trustee, I wanted to ask if the leaders that are here today, are you willing to commit to us to not only support us, because at this point, supporting is not enough. We need people to be advocating for us, to be the voices out there, the voices that are reaching Nunez, the voices that are reaching Sheriff Mims. So do we have a commitment from you all here today to be those voices that, you know, go beyond where our voices are not being heard? Like,
absolutely.
Nunez, tomando en cuenta like de que solamente Mims. Nos resta un minuto de esta hora, are you willing to go the extra mile, Trustee Miguel Arias?
Absolutely.
We are California. We lead. We need to stay loud. Now is our time to stand up and defend our immigrant communities. We need to be standing shoulder to shoulder. I will be with you in this fight.
Claudia.
Somos uno. Ustedes son nuestros hijos. Estamos a su lado.
Esmeralda Soria.
Absolutely, and with no reservation.
¿Alguna otra pregunta brevemente, por favor? Algunos segundos. Pedro. No sé, ¿alguien había levantado la mano? Adelante.
And this is more regarding the governor is giving the funding, right, for the to make sure that DACA students or that students, immigrant students, are able to continue their education despite the DACA decision. How are community colleges going to assure that these students have access to the funds? And I'm speaking of, because I'm from Madera, so we've heard a lot about Fresno, Fresno State, Fresno City, but what about Madera Center, Clovis, Oakhurst, the smaller community colleges that
no sé si puedan comentar sobre esto, solamente sure. Miguel Arias.
You know, we've had that debate several times in our governing board. We oversee three colleges and about and a couple of centers. And for us, we're one unified district, but the colleges have always had some level of autonomy and independence how they operate. What I've been advocating for is for an establishment of a Dream Center arrangement at every college campus so that everybody can get access. That has been a conversation we've had. I've engaged our presidents on multiple times. I think that the money that's being set aside for community colleges, now the $7 million, is going to give us a perfect opportunity to develop a policy that says, if you want the money in your college system, you got to develop a place.
You're listening to a live broadcast of a town hall meeting on the end of DACA and the future of young immigrants. Con esto quisiéramos dar por concluida la primera hora. Quédense con nosotros. Si ustedes están escuchando a través de la radio o el internet, nos iremos a una breve pausa. Seguiremos con más en este foro comunitario desde el Fresno City College.
You are listening to a town hall meeting on the future of DACA, broadcasting live from the campus of Fresno City College. The public forum is convened by Radio Bilingüe and a number of community partners. The program will continue after this break.